Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Good morning. Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. A lot of things have changed since 1962. Population of Calgary was 269,000. World population was 4.3 billion. Dr. No, the first James Bond movie, was in theaters, followed later by Lawrence of Arabia. Astronaut John Glenn orbited the Earth three times and just under 5 hours later splashed down near Turks and Caicos. Cuban Missile Crisis happened between Russia and the United States. Spider-Man made his first appearance in a comic. The Space Needle was completed in Seattle. They were able to host the World Fair. Marilyn Monroe died, as did Eleanor Roosevelt. The Song of the Year, 1962, Moon River. And the best picture was West Side Story. If you couldn't afford to go out to the movie theaters, you could watch a new television program called The Beverly Hillbillies. Sam Walton opened his first store, and so did Kmart. And so did Motel 6 open their first motel. A younger man took over hosting The Tonight Show, a man by the name of Johnny Carson. Jamaica got its independence from Great Britain. Brazil won the World Cup. And the Toronto Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup in 1962, and they would go on to win in 63 and 64. John Diefenbaker, Dief the Chief, was the Prime Minister of Canada, and Ernest Manning was our Premier in Alberta. James Meredith became the first African-American student to enroll at the University of Mississippi. Meredith was an Army vet, and he had made several attempts to attend Ole Miss, but the governor prevented him, denied entry. He was finally able to enter the school by being escorted by United States Marshals at the insistence of President Kennedy. Nelson Mandela was arrested and imprisoned. And a powerful lady, preacher, named Reverend Ruby Moore, dedicated the Calgary Foursquare Gospel Church in Bridgeland, just a little ways away from the General Hospital. Here we are, 61 years later, and a lot has changed. World leaders have come and gone. Our population has grown, not only of our city, but of our world. James Bond has been in the theater 25 times with 7 different actors. We've done a lot more than loop around the globe, and we no longer splash down, at least not on purpose. Russia is still making war. Spider-Man, Motel 6, and Walmart have been around the world. Bigotry and prejudice, discrimination, and injustice are still present, as are those who stand against it. And the Foursquare Gospel Church in Calgary is still proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are still proclaiming that Jesus is our Savior and our Healer, our Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, and our soon and coming King. And we are still committed to the same words that are written on the Cornerstone Evangelist Temple, that we are dedicated, we are committed, we are dedicated unto the cause of worldwide and interdenominational evangelism. And we echo what Reverend Anna de Britton, coming from Bible school and Life of Los Angeles, came to Canada crying, Canada for Christ. And that's where we have made it our own, Calgary for Christ. That's where that came from, Calgary for Christ. So as we enter our 61st year, I am believing God that he's leading us into a new season of anointing As we as we intentionally step into September, I want to talk to you about this summer and how to prepare for what's ahead. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi tells us, God says, I am the Lord, I do not change. We know the Holy Spirit does not change. The same Holy Spirit who anointed Jesus will anoint us, will anoint you, and empower you and equip you to do all that God has called and created you to do as we enter this 61st year. We have been all given the ministry of reconciliation to bring hope and help and wholeness and benefits and belonging to the people of Calgary that Jesus loves so much. When Peter was speaking to Cornelius, it's in Acts chapter 10, in his sermon, he will say this. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know, now listen to this, you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. How the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus. Jesus will say this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It was after his baptism, Jesus came to the synagogue in Nazareth. A scroll was handed to him, and he stood up and he found the place where it was written, and he read these words. You remember, this is after his baptism. We're going to look at his baptism in a moment. It was as Peter talked about how the Holy Spirit anointed Jesus. Jesus stands up in Nazareth and he says these words, quoting from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus speaking from Isaiah. Then he closed the book. He gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus, look at, to preach the gospel, to minister wholeness and healing and freedom, and to declare God's favor has arrived. And I want to see us walk in that anointing in our 61st year, that we might share the good news of the gospel with our city, that we might bring people to Jesus, that we might bring people to salvation and healing and wholeness and freedom. We might bring people who Jesus so deeply loves to a saving knowledge of their Savior. See, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. It says, but that through him the world might be saved. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, and he didn't leave the church here to finish the job. He left us here to bring a message of hope and of good news, of the gospel to people. We need to see people's lives impacted with the good news, just like the good news has impacted us. The power of the gospel is not cursing the darkness. The power of the gospel is turning on the light in the midst of the darkness, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. There's a couple things I want to focus on this summer. We're going to look at some scriptures together about Jesus' baptism. But I really invite you to let this settle in your heart today. What we're going to do for the next 61 days. The next 61 days, our 61st anniversary. Today is July the 2nd. There's 31 days in July, 31 days in August. So mine is yesterday because we're going to start today. 61 days will take us exactly to the end of August as we commence into September in our 61st year. On the 10th of September, we're going to gather together for an anniversary celebration and launching into what God has for us. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed us. But for July and August, I'd like to invite you to pray a prayer with me that we will get to. But looking at God's word today, here's the story of the baptism of Jesus. Jesus went to the Jordan to be baptized by John. In fact, John would try and prevent him from being baptized. But Jesus said it was the right thing to do. It wasn't somehow that Jesus was being baptized to repent of any of his own sin, because that didn't exist. That's not why he was being baptized. He certainly was being baptized as a model for us, because Jesus, so much of what he did wasn't for himself, it was for us. But also in his baptism, he was validating and connecting with his cousin's ministry, validating what was going on, acknowledging John as a prophet. And even though John initially tried to prevent him, look what happened, Luke chapter 3. If you've got the app, you can follow along. Hopefully you are already been following along with the sermon notes. The slides are behind me, or you can turn in your Bibles to Luke. Luke 3 verse 21 says this. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, 21. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This amazing picture of the Trinity that we do not grasp or understand. Jesus is being baptized, the Holy Spirit descends, and the Father speaks. But it says, when he prayed, the heaven was opened, the Holy Spirit descended, and the Father spoke. So similar to the day of Pentecost, as they were in the upper room praying, the Holy Spirit descends and rests upon each one of them. But it was this moment where John, who we know as John the Baptist, would say that this is when he was able to identify Jesus as the Messiah. It will say in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 32, talk about the other John the Baptist. And John bore witness saying, this is what John the Baptist said, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. John saw this. And he remained upon him. And that's so key when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this remaining on him. John says, I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, this is God the Father. He's recalling what the Father said to him. He who sent me to baptize with water said this, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This is the one who John the Baptist would say is mightier than I, that I'm not worthy to tie his shoes or to untie his shoes, to loose his sandals. I baptize with water, but there's one coming who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And it was this moment that John identifies Jesus. And it says that Jesus returned from the Jordan. See, he went to the Jordan intentionally to be baptized by John. You don't get baptized accidentally unless you're swimming and you've got some rowdy buddies. That's not baptism, that's dunking. You don't get accidentally baptized. It is a choice. And Jesus went specifically to go be baptized by John. And John tried to prevent him. And sometimes there are things that try and prevent us from following what God has for us, following the right path. Sometimes there are things that try and prevent us from being baptized. And I know there are people who have followed Jesus for a lot of years and accepted him as Lord and Savior and have never followed through in being water baptized. There has been something or some things that have prevented them. And sometimes then it can just get awkward. Well, I accepted Christ however long ago, and now I'm just being baptized. And now our minds play tricks on us, and sometimes the enemy gets in there with lies, and people think, well, what will people think of me if I get baptized now? They'll be looking and say, well, you should have done this a long time ago. How can I do it now? It's too late. That's not what people think at all. People think, I had no idea you weren't baptized. I'm so glad you're doing that now. We're just going to rejoice with you and celebrate this moment of obedience. We're not going to look down on you. We're going to celebrate. We're family, and we stand with one another. It's not about how long you delayed. It's that you're doing it now, and we're rejoicing. There's a marvelous statement when Philip, in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, Philip was had just shared Christ with a man. And as they're traveling along, the man sees water by the side of the road and he says, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" I'll even read it. It's Acts chapter 8, verse 36. It starts and says, "Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?'" And that's a really good question. But here's a really good answer. And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And if we were to follow this story through, we would see one of the worst discipleship programs that we know. This and the time where Jesus heals the demoniac, the man filled with demons, and the guy is set free, and he says, "Jesus, I want to follow you." And Jesus says, "No, you're not coming with me. Go back to your family. Tell them the good things that God has done for you." And this there wasn't even the conversation. It says that Philip, that the man came up out of the water, and Philip, he was gone. He doesn't even say goodbye. "See you later. Here's what you need to do." Poof. It's a Star Trek moment, and he gets not transported, but at least translated to another place. There's no follow-up. What a marvelous experience. This summer, I'd like to focus on two things. I'd like to invite you to pray this prayer, and I'm gonna encourage you, challenge you, more than suggest, invite, welcome. Welcome you to pray this prayer for the next 61 days. For the next 61 days to pray these two things. Number one, that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Ephesians talks about don't be drunk with wine, for in it there's dissipation. There's all kinds of trouble that comes with that. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And it's this continual. Lord, fill me. It's not some theological treaty on the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. It's this, we're opening our hearts to say, "Lord, fill me and fill me again and fill me again. I want the fullness of your presence." Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Here's the verses that I'm focusing on for these next 61 days. "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. In those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." It says, it's talking about the baptism, his water baptism, that then he, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returns from the Jordan. Filled has to do with, if you will, the picture of an empty vessel. A vessel, a cup, whatever it is, it's empty and you're pouring into it. It has another meaning. It has to do with covering an entire surface. If you've ever dusted, now of all the things of housework, that is not my thing. I'll vacuum, I'll do all kinds of things. Man, I don't like dusting. But sometimes, if I have dusted our big kitchen table, dining room table, and I've missed spots, you can see where I missed. You can see where I swiped and missed. There's a picture of being filled that means to cover every area, to not miss anything. And so this filling, it reaches to every area. So when we say, "Fill me," it's not only just this empty vessel, it's this every area. Don't let anything be missed out. It has to do with being permeated, just lacking nothing. Not even a little bit, not lacking anything. And I'd invite you to join me as I pray for these next 61 days. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. See, at the start of his ministry, commencing with his water baptism, Jesus doing the right thing, he was filled with the Spirit. And as we begin our Christian life, let any hindrance be moved to the side that would prevent us from being water baptized. And as we look to minister as Jesus did, we must be overflowing with his Spirit right from the start. And I guess I would say right from the start, wherever you are starting right now, right here, July 2nd, right from the start, right now, Lord, fill us. This is the place to start. And so if you haven't been water baptized, as Pastor Chris said, whether you're watching online, you're here in this room today, you know somebody who has not yet followed the Lord obediently in the waters of baptism, we'd be so glad to baptize you on the 15th at Brian and Ellen's home. But would you make it your intentional prayer, not your accidental prayer, to be filled with the Spirit this summer? Lord, fill me with your Spirit, an awareness of his presence, a deep awareness of his presence, a deep communion, not surface, but deep in our lives. Be filled with the Spirit over and over and over again. Sometimes there are things that our lives fill up with, just our life gets crowded in, our schedule, our time, our resources, just stuff. We're so busy. We just get filled up with so many things. I'm saying, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And maybe if you're like me or can relate to this, sometimes there's a settling that happens in our lives, just a settling down. Or we settle for things that God hasn't called us to settle for. Maybe there was a passion in your life that needs to be stirred up. Maybe there was a heart for the lost that needs to be stirred up. Maybe there's a hunger for God that needs to be stirred up because some things have settled. Two weeks ago, I did something much to the, I don't know if it was the horror to my family, but pretty close. I bought pink milk syrup. Some go, ooh. I remember as a little boy loving pink milk. It used to be Nestle's Quick. This was a Hershey's brand. And in the milk, I poured more than I should have of this pink syrup in, and I stirred it up, and I stirred it up, and it was the light pink, and it was getting darker and darker, and it's just, this is going to be so good. And I had a little sip. And then I stopped stirring, and I watched something take place that I was really surprised at. There began to be a settling. I thought everything was permeated. I thought it was all mixed in, and it began to settle. And there was this dark syrup that was at the bottom, and I had to stir it up again. I had to stir it up again. I had to stir it up again. Sometimes there's a settling that happens in our life, and we think, well, I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm surrendered. I prayed. But there's some things in our life, passion, zeal, hunger, that settle. And I'm praying when we say, Lord, fill me. We're saying, Lord, stir me. Stir up a passion for your name. Fill me, and then the other thing is this, is praying these two things for 61 days. Fill me with your Spirit. Secondly, lead me. Lead me by your Spirit, that we would be Spirit-led. Being filled with the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit, it is supernatural, but it doesn't need to be either spooky or mystical. It is supernatural. I love the picture of even of this phrase, lead me by your Spirit. Jesus was led. The word lead, it doesn't have to do with just give directions. It's not for me to stand up here and tell you, can you just go over there? Can you stand over here? Just a couple more steps. Yeah, it's not giving verbal commands and sending someone somewhere. Leading means to go with them. When you lead someone, you just don't give them directions. You bring them. You accompany them. And this word that talks about Jesus was led by the Spirit. After he was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led. It means to attach yourself to someone as an attendant. You're just that close. And so when we talk about being led by the Spirit, we're not just somehow talking about hearing a voice and walking forward and being sent away and given direction. Being led by the Spirit is so connected with God. You're with him, in step with him, in sync with him, and he's not sending you, he's taking you. And I think one of the most credible ways to be led by the Spirit is to understand it doesn't have to look like an interruption spontaneously. It can, but it seems to me that God is a God of order, and he's a God of planning, he's a God of preparation, and he's a God of process. When we talk even about the creation of all that there is, and God said, let there be, and there was, people struggle with, how could God create this in 6 days? I think, why did God take so long? He didn't need to take 6 days. Let there be, and there was, and we're done. But God works in process, and he works in creative process in our lives too. And I'm praying that will take place as we go through the summer, saying, Lord, fill me, Lord, lead me, that there will be a creative process of God's Spirit at work in your life, shaping and creating new life as we walk with him. God's not surprised or caught off guard, and God had prepared a wilderness place for Jesus to be led to, where Jesus confronted, now listen, loved one, Jesus confronted the devil in private before he confronted the devil in public. He confronted the devil in private before he confronted the devil in public. There is something about a private life of prayer and closeness with God that we need in our lives. Sometimes we see all and hear all kinds of things about what happens in public meetings and public areas. Jesus confronted the devil in private before he confronted him publicly. So don't be surprised when God fills us with his Spirit that he leads us in deserted places to be alone with him. And don't be surprised when the tempter shows up to try and circumvent that process and that time. Alone with God must include being alone with his word. If you're going to have any chance, loved one, hear this. If you're going to have any chance of walking in victory, you need to be able to say, it is written. If you're going to have any shot at walking in victory, you need to be able to understand God's word and have it in your hearts and be able to say with authority, it is written. Jesus often withdrew to a solitary place and there he prayed. So this summer, may we be filled with his Spirit. May we be led by his Spirit. And his leading of his Spirit will lead us to be alone with him. Just in closing, Luke 4:14 goes on to say this, and this is after the temptation in the wilderness. It says this, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. Jesus returned from the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. My prayer is that we would return from this summer saying, Lord, fill me and lead me in the power of the Holy Spirit, that his name would go throughout the region. Lord, lead me. Lord, fill me. May we pray that every day as we come to September. The picture of God filling us. And I said about the empty vessel. You know, God's not looking for a perfect vessel. He's not looking for a fancy vessel, but he is looking for a clean vessel. It's pretty tricky for God to pour his Holy Spirit into an unclean vessel. And the problem is our lives can get pretty messy. And our lives can get pretty stained, not just on the outside, but sin stains on the inside. When we think about God pouring his Holy Spirit into a dirty cup. But the good news is that we can all be cleansed. We can all be clean on the inside. And God can fill us with his Holy Spirit as we say, Lord, please fill me. We can try and tidy things up a bit, and fair enough, by how we live or how we behave or how we walk or how we talk, what we do or what we don't do, and try and somehow deal with things that we do wrong, but that doesn't really deal with the sin in our lives. Not really. We need Jesus to forgive us. He's the one who cleanses us, and Scripture tells us if we would confess our sin, he is faithful and just. You can count on it, you can bank on it. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As he cleanses us, the vessel is clean, and he pours his Spirit into us. All we need to do, just like Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch on the road, all you need to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Say, I believe with all my heart. I believe with all my heart, and I want to follow him. And he can help us do that.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.